get thee to a homeschool convention, and be ye illuminated and enriched in body and mind.
Hello, and welcome to the Arts of Language podcast with Andrew Poudois, founder of the Institute for Excellence in Writing, or as many like to say, IEW. My name is Julie Walker, and I'm honored to serve Andrew and IEW as the Chief Marketing Officer. Our goal is to equip teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers. So, Andrew, episode 415.
Wow, they're just clicking along.
Yes, they are.
Pretty soon we'll be at 1,000 and we'll be really old.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that, as maybe some of our listeners know, that when episode numbers end in 5, we want to spend a few minutes, 20 or so to be exact, talking about homeschooling basics, homeschool 101 type topics. And this being March, it's perfectly suited for us to talk about something that was very popular when I was homeschooling all those years ago, that's not as popular today, but we think it should be, and that is homeschool conventions.
Oh, yes. That was the thing everyone looked forward to, like an unbelievable anticipation, the big event of the year in so many states.
Yeah, you see friends that you hadn't seen since they were at the convention with you last year. You wanted to hurry and register because space was limited. And when you walked the floors of the exhibit hall, there were people everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's a little different today. It's a lot different today.
Well, you know, there are some places. I remember walking into one show last year thinking, wow, this is so crowded. It's like the old days.
Aww.
But there's one huge difference. In the old days, people were rolling around these gigantic carts and wagons and massive suitcases to buy all their curriculum for the year.
Yeah, because they had to tote it home with them.
And now pretty much nobody has to do that because everyone...
We're going to ship it all to you.
Yeah. Free shipping coupons, and it's so much easier for everyone.
Yep.
Although there are some people who still, I want to take it with me.
Yeah.
I have it.
Yeah.
I can understand.
Yes.
Well, what do you remember the most, like of your homeschool convention going days? What's some of the most thrilling moments in your memory?
So if I happen to sit in on a great workshop, which is not always, it's kind of hit and miss, but those, I still remember some talks that I heard when I, in my early years of homeschooling, and really helped inform my future and literally my children's future, because their influence influenced how I taught my students. I was a teacher. I taught elementary school before I started homeschooling. So I did have some of that background, but to get it from a completely different perspective, you, parent, are providing an opportunity for your students to get an education of kings. That was one of the messages that I heard, that kings were privately tutored. And now your students are doing the same thing. So I love that. I love that. And I would remind my students how fortunate they were that they were homeschooled.
Whether they believed it or not.
Right. And the other thing I loved doing is I loved roaming the exhibit hall. Now, I, and maybe it's because I'm kind of bent and prone toward marketing. So I love seeing the displays. I love seeing the products. I was not allowed to buy anything at conventions because I could, because I'm that personality that would just buy everything.
You could just go off.
So we would, you know, we would, my husband and I would really investigate whether or not we were going to do something.
And plan and then buy.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But so those exhibit halls were not overwhelming to me because I knew I couldn't buy anything anyway. I know I hear that a lot. Oh my goodness, there's so many options.
Well, and you know, 25 years ago, there were not quite as many options.
'Tis true.
As there are now.
'Tis true.
But that's definitely one thing that's changed, is a much greater diversity of curriculum and you know, now it's everything from, you know, essential oils to trail life to things you never saw before. I like to roam the convention hall just to see if there's something I haven't ever seen before.
Sure. Some, yep.
And of course, you know, how many conventions have I gone to? I don't know. Probably average 15 a year for 25 years, 20
yes,
years at least.
Yes,
probably over 300
yes,
I've been to.
Yes. And some multiple times.
And then I view it as one of my personal missions is to find someone who's standing at a booth and they're just looking a little tired and bored. Mm-hmm. Usually one of these young people at one of these college recruiting booths, and nobody really hangs out and looks at their stuff. They just walk by, pick up the free rulers. And so I always arm myself with a couple excellent jokes.
Oh, nice.
And I can wander around the hall and bring a moment of happiness, of levity, of cheer, a chuckle to the unsuspecting booth Manning person.
Yes, yes. Well, and I just have to say, as an aside, sometimes you would do that at, I don't want to say at the expense of, but certainly at the, where is Mr. Poudois? Because they would expect.
Well, it's just Murphy's Law. I'm standing at our booth. There's nobody there. I think, well, it's time to roam. And as soon as I walk away, then this family walks up and, oh, my kids really want to meet Mr. Poudois.
Yeah, and he's gone. We can't find him. It's like, yeah, he's around here
and
somewhere.
And I don't ever answer my phone. So.
No.
But for me, one of the things that has happened, I think the first few times it happened, it was tremendously impactful, and now because it's happened so many more times, it's not quite as surprising. But people who will come up and say something like, I heard you 10 years ago at this convention when my son was 6 and couldn't read, and you saved my homeschool. I mean, sometimes they're very exaggerating. You saved my life. I know I didn't save their life, but I appreciate the fact that, you know, they're confirming that, you know, something I said in one of the talks I did was, you know, used by the Holy Spirit to do something in their life of significance enough to remember it 10 years later.
Yes.
Kind of the, you know, one of the best things for me.
Yep.
But, you know, a lot of people these days think, well, why bother?
Exactly.
It takes time. You have to travel.
Mm-hmm.
It's money. Maybe you have to stay in a hotel, you know, you have to buy food or pack up a bunch of food. It's just a hassle. And there's so many good resources online.
Sure.
All the curriculum companies have samples and catalogs online.
Yep.
So why bother?
Yep. And so I would ask you, Andrew, because that's kind of what we're talking about, is it's worth it. And why would you say, is it worth it?
Well, in a way, it's the difference between listening to a piece of music or even watching a YouTube of somebody performing a piece of music versus going to a concert, right? The impact is so much greater. One of the things that we are all fighting in the world today is just fractured attention spans. We all believe that we can multitask and, you know, oh, I'll do this little work while I answer these texts, while I check emails, while I listen to this YouTube talk. Well, that's just, we don't do any of that well. And all the research proves that actually nobody multitasks. It's just you get very much better at shifting quickly between single tasks.
Mm-hmm.
But are you doing any of those tasks well? And all the brain research is coming back now that if you want to maximize your time, minimize distraction, don't try to multitask, and focus on what you're doing. And I think for a lot of people, when you go to a live talk, yeah, you could still pull out your phone and maybe answer urgent texts, or if you get really bored, I suppose you could doom scroll for a while. But most people, when they come into a room to listen to a talk, they've chosen that talk either because of the subject or the speaker, and they want to learn. So you're surrounded by people who are more focused, which makes it easier for you to be more focused. And I think that's one of the big advantages, is it's just an opportunity to kind of have a mini retreat. And I do know for a fact that little groups of moms will get the dads or the grandparents or a combination thereof to watch the kids for 3 days and take a little road trip and share a hotel room like they were, you know, college girls, you know, and they're just so happy about it. I have met a lot of people who've said, nah, I didn't really want to go, but I'm so glad I came. I have never met a single person who said, well, I sure wish I hadn't come to this homeschool convention. What a waste of time. No, it's always the opposite. Yep. The hidden blessings are always there and pretty easy to find, really.
Yes, I appreciate, especially some of these bigger homeschool conventions that you often are a part of, Andrew, is seeing that this calling, this work that we are doing is so much bigger than just me and my kids at the dining room table. Wow, there are not maybe hundreds, but thousands of people here who are maybe brand new to homeschooling and just, or maybe just checking it out to see if it's even doable and are getting that encouragement from so many other people. I would say if you are thinking about going to a homeschool convention, find out from your friends who the best speakers are and go to them. And that way you're not wasting your time. But you also want to look at the topics that they're presenting. All these homeschool organizations that are hosting conventions pretty much have, by now, it's March, their event programs online.
Yeah. Well, and the, you know, there's big conventions and that can be a little bit frustrating because, oh no, there's 10 concurrent sessions mm-hmm. and I really wish I could go to both of these ones that are really interesting to me, but I can't. And you know, try to solve that. You can buy recordings, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. And then you can go into an exhibit hall, and there's 400 exhibits, and so you have to be careful about a big event and decision fatigue and overwhelm. So sometimes small events are, you know, pretty nice. There's only three things going on. You choose one. You know, there's 50 tables, you go look at stuff and you spend more time, I think, in a relaxed mode. So, in fact, I know people who go to 2 conventions each year.
Sure.
One for the talks and another one to shop.
Yep.
Yeah. Which I don't think most people would do that, but if you're in proximity to
sure.
a good event. So, yeah. Well, you've got my calendar there.
I do.
And I know some of the events I'm going to, which would be all 5 of the Great Homeschool Conventions.
Yes, yes. And I just want to camp there just for a little bit. You have been a longtime speaker there, and so people can pretty much count on you being there. And so this year, 2024, Andrew Poudois will again be at the Great Homeschool
yeah,
Conferences.
Last year I wasn't at one of them, and boy, were there some irritated people.
Yeah,
like, why
yeah.
weren't you there?
Well, and everybody, please just know that he's one man, and you haven't figured out how to bilocate yet, have you?
No, that's a superpower of sainthood that I am not at a level of holiness. But
right.
So the Great Homeschool Conventions are interesting because they tend to have the same core group of speakers year after year.
Yep.
Which is fun for me because I can count on many of my friends will be there.
Mm-hmm.
But it does lend that consistency. I generally try to come up with 2 completely new talks,
mm-hmm.
1 or 2. This year, I think I have 2. And then recycle some older talks.
Yep.
But, you know, in an informal poll, it appears to me that 1/3 to 1/4 of people each year are new.
Yes.
Which makes sense because people may take a year off or they quit, you know, their kids grow up and they're not homeschooling anymore. Or they're just coming into homeschooling.
Right.
So there is this turnover. And the other thing I realized, it's okay to hear something that's worth hearing
right.
again. So, but I try to get the 2 new talks for the Great Homeschool Conventions,
mm-hmm.
and that's really consistent. I think I've done that over 20 years since
yeah.
they just got started. I was at the very, very, very first one
wow.
in Cincinnati.
Okay, great.
And then some of the state conventions, they prefer to rotate speakers
yes.
just to create variety and have kind of a new panel, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's good too. And I like it all. I mean, I have some places are kind of more fun to go to.
Sure.
Orlando.
I was going to say Orlando because that way you can hit up Disney World while you're there.
And I have hit accidentally extremely brutally cold, desolate places in the middle of spring, which in those places is still winter.
Yes.
but I like to rotate around and,
yeah,
and you know, I keep thinking each year, well, maybe this will be my last year. But then something sparks me, you know, some letter or some comment or something causes me to think, I should work while I have the light.
Yeah.
You know, I should do what I can when I'm able, because at some point I will either be unwilling or unable to travel.
So let me list off some of the places that you are going to be this year.
Good, because I think I may have forgotten a few.
You might have. The very first one that you are doing is a Great Homeschool Convention in South Carolina, and that's March 14th through 16th.
Right, and then the very week after that, I believe, is St. Charles.
Yes.
Which is St. Louis area in Missouri. So those are the first two main ones back-to-back.
And then you head off to the big one, Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And that's in April?
Yes. Beginning, first weekend in April.
Yep.
And then one of those cold places, Andrew, you are heading out to Utah for a conference in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, that'll be good. Haven't been to, I've been to the airport in Utah a few times, but I haven't been outside the airport in Utah for at least 10 years. So
yes, I think that'll be fun. You and I, and at the time Linda Makotis was working for us, we did a special needs conference in Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. That might have been the last time you were there. And yeah, that was about 10 years ago.
Yep. So looking forward to that.
Yeah. And Christian then, you go really cold.
Well, maybe, maybe not. You never know about Alaska in
That's
April.
Right. That's right.
It's likely to be gray, but yeah, I'm doing the whole tour, all five of the curriculum fairs in starts in Anchorage and then out to Soldotna, which is on the Kenai Peninsula, and then up to Fairbanks, and then down to Juneau. So I guess that's four. Yeah, four cities. And I'm the main banquet speaker.
Oh, nice.
Keynote speaker. And I'm happy. It's a long trip. But again, you never know who you're going to meet, and you never know the one thing you might say that would make a big difference for someone, whether it's about their, you know, little boy who doesn't like to read, or, you know, whether they should start homeschooling or not.
Right, right, right. And I, you know, I have to do a little digression right here. We were talking about this when we were getting ready to do this podcast. Two points. One, you're going to Alaska, which you've been to many, many times. And in fact, the cover of our school's magalog this year has a feature article from a school that you went to 20-some years ago.
Well, actually, I didn't go to that school district, but some of those teachers came to another school district event that I was doing.
Yeah.
And, but it was all part of that network of schools that I got connected with. Just, I mean, it was just so funny the way it happened.
Yeah. So this is the Lower Yukon School District. And my goodness, they're scattered everywhere.
Everywhere. And from the looks of the kids on the cover of the magalog and the article that we wrote about them, they are just flying with structure and style and fix-it
yes.
grammar. And it's so gratifying to be able to help in, you know, a situation that's pretty tough in terms of, you know, a fairly low literacy population, scattered, everything scattered all over the
place.
Yes,
yes.
Although I will say the teachers in Alaska I have met, for I would say almost all, if not all, are just extremely dedicated.
Dedicated
people.
Teachers,
Very
yeah.
Dedicated.
Through hard times, yeah.
So, yeah.
So, but the second thing I wanted to say about that is I know that when I was a school teacher, I also enjoyed going to homeschool conferences. Because even as a school teacher, I was able to garner gems and look at different curriculum options and get some ideas for my students in my classroom.
Yeah. Oh, I meet a lot of people who are teaching school that come to a convention just to see what's new in the homeschool curriculum world. You know, a lot of times they can't necessarily make their school adopt something.
Right.
But they can snag a little bit here and there and integrate it and. And that's pretty much what good teachers are always doing.
Exactly.
They're looking for the best methods and the best materials to.
Exactly.
Where am I after Alaska?
So, okay, the next conference, and I might have missed a couple here, but the one that I'm seeing that comes out to me is that one of your favorite places. And it's not because of Disney World.
Oh, yeah.
Orlando. Because, just listener for the record, Andrew is not a fan of Disney for some reason.
No,
I don't know.
I am of the opinion that if the Disney Corporation had never existed, the world would be a better place. But anyhow, Orlando is a festive place. And the event is at the Gaylord Palms. And so many families just look forward to being there. It's a beautiful, big facility. They have the middle of the hotel is this. So the hotel is like a hexagon shape or something. And in the middle is a big covered atrium.
Oh, nice.
And they have, you know, little streams and islands and places to walk around. The kids just love it. And they have little alligators in the streams and other wildlife.
Okay, so no
one's
swimming.
These are little alligators.
These are not, kids are not swimming in these.
No. It says don't go in. But, these are like 2-foot alligators.
Okay.
Tiny,
okay,
cute little things. My only complaint, and I'm sure everyone complains, is just the food there is really pricey.
Okay.
But, it's Disney I think World, most of us manage to, smuggle in enough food to survive on one expensive meal plus snacks every day.
Yep.
But I love the way Florida organizes their convention. They just bring in a great variety of people and, it's just a very festive. It's almost like, more than any other place, I would say Florida is almost like a celebration of homeschooling.
Oh, nice.
Like, let's just get together and
have
a blast.
Yeah, it's fun. That's
they awesome. Do a music festival there that's very enjoyable. And this is top secret. I'm contemplating taking one or two grandchildren with me this year, which would be really fun because I took their mother.
Oh, right.
When
they were little.
20 years ago. And so it would be very nostalgic.
That would be. And they would have such a good time. So just jumping around here a little bit more, you are speaking at and are helping to judge the NCFCA national final competition.
Right. Well, that's not really a homeschool convention because it's a debate tournament.
It is, but it's a pretty remarkable thing and anybody can go.
Anybody can go and watch. And I hope we'll do a little podcast on why you should go visit a debate tournament even if you don't have kids competing, because it will bring you hope for the rest of your life.
And it's on our schedule.
Yes,
so we will be doing that. And then you're doing HEAV in Virginia.
Virginia's good. It's right downtown Richmond. And again, a very well-organized event. Just lots of energy, lots of grateful, happy people. I think that Orlando and Richmond have the advantage of being kind of right in the center of the state. They do draw really well from the north and the south.
Sure.
I'm always interested too because they'll bring in kind of a special big shot speaker. And that's kind of fun, for me to hear someone who's relatively famous.
Right. So I want to just mention a couple other opportunities. These are conventions that we've mentioned that you're speaking at, Andrew, but you can't speak at them all. But a lot of them, IEW is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember the days, Andrew? We were that curriculum company that allowed people to take things home with them.
Oh, I remember very well.
Yes.
Schlepping.
Yes.
You'd send 50 boxes of stuff.
Yeah, sometimes pallets on freight trucks.
Yeah, and just the schlepping and the pain. And then I remember the days when people had to hand write their credit card numbers on the form. Then we'd have to come home and punch them all in.
Well, thankfully, those days are long gone. And if you are coming to a convention where you see IEW is participating, it might be that Andrew's not speaking there. It's pretty clear on our website, IEW.com/events. You can filter it based on whether or not Andrew's speaking or not. But if we're there, we have a display booth and we're actually not even selling anything at the booth. We are just there so that you can put the hands on our materials, look through it, ask questions. The booth exhibitor will not be distracted by having to ring up another sale. It's just, here's a free shipping code. Go buy this online. Any other questions, I can answer for you.
Free lesson download cards.
Yep. Lots of great materials that we provide at our booth. And then we have some conventions that neither you nor someone on our team can get to. But we're still trying to have a presence there. We call those display booths, mm-hmm. where we have some of our selected key materials that are there. And quite frankly, we're asking the event organizer at the end of the show just to give them away.
Yeah. We really work hard to support the mm-hmm. state organizations.
Yep.
And, you know, my whistle stop
yes.
tours.
You've done three of them now.
Three. And, you know, that idea of just to help people become aware of the importance of their state homeschool organization
yep.
in terms of, you know, they don't just have a convention or not. Most of them are very busy all year providing information to new homeschoolers, how mm-hmm. to legally homeschool in this state, what are curriculum options, where's the local groups near you. And then probably the most important thing is the monitoring of legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, the every single state that has a legislature, every single session has someone who will propose a bill that would be detrimental to parental rights and homeschool freedoms to some degree. And keeping track of these things, that's a job.
Yes.
So, you know, part of my goal is to support these state organizations by going there if they invite mm-hmm. me, sending someone if we can, but just having a presence mm-hmm. to help their event be as valuable as possible to the people so that they get that understanding that this is a thing. And, you know, I long thought we could very easily double the number of people at a homeschool convention if everyone who would go would simply bring a friend.
Right.
Right. I mean, if you would just recruit mm-hmm. one of your friends to go with you,
mm-hmm.
maybe they're not homeschooling yet. Maybe they think homeschooling is weird.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could say, well, let's just go have fun and check it out, it can be a transformative experience.
Yep. Yep.
I have seen people walk out of talks literally in tears
mm-hmm.
because of the transformative power of the message mm-hmm. that they heard.
Yep. Yep.
Not that we want people to cry,
no,
but you
no.
get my point
yep.
that it's deep, meaningful, and worthy of investment of time.
So I'm going to be at two conventions.
Yes, I think you are.
Yes, I am going to CHEA of Southern California.
Good, good.
So got great friends there. And actually this year it's going to be at Biola University, my alma mater.
Oh, well, that be the most nostalgic
I know,
thing ever.
It's true. It's true. I'm really eager to see what classrooms, the conference talks. You will not be there, Andrew, this year.
No,
but
I won't.
I will be there. I'll be doing with my good friend Debbie Hall, and she and I will be at the CHEA convention. I'm excited about that.
And you're doing a talk, right, for CHEA?
Oh, of course I am.
What are you going to talk?
I don't know yet.
Oh,
they haven't told me.
Okay.
If anything else, Andrew, it will be Easy Plus One. You know, just learning more about IEW and how it works in your unique situation. So we always try to have that talk available to anybody who's new to homeschooling, who's new to IEW.
One year, CHEA invited my daughter.
Yes.
To talk to the teenagers.
Yes. I did that with her.
And she told the most disgusting joke that I have ever heard anyone tell.
Oh, dear.
And I guess she got away with it. Because nobody complained, at least as far as I heard. But I thought, I would not tell that joke in a group like that.
Well.
But I guess she probably won their hearts. And what's the other one you're going to?
I'm going to the Northern California one.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you are doing, and this one I'm going because you're going to be there. And my grandchildren live in Northern California. So we're going to tie that one somehow together. But yeah, that's going to be in Rockland, California in July.
Rockland.
So one of the,
well,
one
that'll
of the
be
last,
nostalgic.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. One of the last ones that you're doing this year in Rockland. And then, you know, we're doing a few online here at IEW. We're doing a few virtual events, and all of these can be found on our event page. But really, I think the message that you and I are trying to convey, Andrew, is go to a live event where you can shake the hands of someone that can help you on this journey, whether it's just parenting or grandparenting. Oh, so going to a homeschool conference as a grandparent is very dangerous because
oh.
I no longer have a restriction on a homeschooling budget.
That's true.
And I come home with things that are way past what they're capable of doing right now, but I think I'll save this for them. Anyway, it's really fun
well,
to
shop. Well, my strategy is never check a bag So I am limited in space the number of books that I can buy for my grandchildren.
And that would be really hard for you, Andrew, because you have so many. Anyway, so our message today.
Get thee to a homeschool convention and be ye illuminated and enriched in body and mind.
There you go.
And heart.
Thank you, Andrew. Thanks so much for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please subscribe to our podcast in iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify, or just visit us each week at iew.com/podcasts. Here you can also find show notes and relevant links from today's broadcast. One last thing, would you mind going to iTunes to rate and review our podcast? This really helps other smart, caring listeners like you find us. Thanks so much.